Moses has just done all, you know, all these amazing things, or, you know, then he calls and stops the thunder and the hail and the rain. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain, the hail, and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet more. And he hardened his heart, he and his servants. So the heart of Pharaoh was hard. Neither would he let the children of Israel go as the Lord had spoken by Moses. Sounds like my kingdom, not your kingdom. My will, not your will. Which is basically the dilemma of all of mankind. Now the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine before him, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your son's sons the mighty things I've done in Egypt and my signs which I've done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. The you may know that I am the Lord is always God's ultimate purpose in everything that happens, that you may know that I am the Lord, whether it be us, whether it be the unbeliever. We need to know he is the Lord. Lord means master, in control, in control. But when you read these verses, it says first that Pharaoh hardened his heart, him and his servants, and then it says the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, sort of like a neutral thing. It didn't say God did it or Pharaoh did it. And then in chapter 10, verse 1, it says, God says, I have hardened his heart. So you got three plays there with a hardening of heart. One, Pharaoh chose to sin, chose not to listen to God, and hardened his heart. So his heart was hardened. And then God says, so I hardened his heart. They go, well, which one's right? Well, they're all right. In fact, if you read through the whole narrative of the time of Pharaoh, there's numerous places where God says he hardens his heart. There's numerous places where it says Pharaoh hardened his heart, and there's numerous places where it says his heart was hardened. And so, in fact, there's even three Hebrew words for hardened used in this narrative of Pharaoh. And so I want us to think a minute. The three words in Hebrew all speak of obstinance. No. Pride. I'm in control. I'm not going to surrender my will. I won't. I refuse to. I'm going to have my way. It's always that way, even with all these three Hebrew words spoken of there. And isn't that how it is? Even in our little times, as Christians, when God says, you know, no, I'm going to do it my way. What happens? We choose to harden our hearts to the Lord speaking. We grieve the Holy Spirit. What does God do? He honors that. It's a scary thing to think God could harden our hearts. But he says, whatever a man shall reap, that he shall sow, right? So he shall reap. I flipped it, didn't I? So if we sow a hardened heart, not wanting to hear the Lord, what are we going to reap? A hardened heart. A separation from him speaking to us. And I think all of us are probably there in one area of our life or another this morning. I know I am. I don't want light to come into certain parts of my life. And aren't we all like that? And so what happens? We quit hearing the Holy Spirit speak to us about that. Because what? God honors our choice to harden our hearts. And he hardens our heart. Does that make sense to you guys this morning? He's such a gentleman. He won't... See, the thing is that Pharaoh... God didn't permit the wicked nature of Pharaoh... God permitted the wicked nature of Pharaoh to be manifested. God didn't hold back Pharaoh's good intentions. God's will was done in the matter, but he wasn't saying to Pharaoh, you can't do the good things you have in mind. You see what I'm saying? He wasn't stopping him from doing good stuff. He was allowing him to do bad stuff, his true nature to come forward. You see the difference there? He had bad intentions, so God hardened his heart. In other words, he forced him to take a stand or make a decision. And so God, his sovereignty is manifest when there's opposition to the will of God. Because he did wonders and signs and miracles and amazing things. He's so righteous. And when God's will is subdued, he will show himself to be Lord somehow, some way. And sometimes for us, It's ending up in a place that we really didn't want to be, but we made the decision to go there. See, we finally get there, and we go, God, oh, help me. Help me, Lord. I've been trying to keep you on the road all this time, and now you're here, but yeah, I'm going to help you. But he did know, I am the Lord. So anytime light is rejected or obedience is refused, inevitably hardness of the heart or the conscience is the result. It has to be. Does that make sense to you guys? Anytime we say no to light, the Spirit of God, the truth coming to us, the only result of that can be hardening of our conscience or our heart to the Lord's voice in our lives. Where are we this morning? Are we hearing Him clearly? Have we hardened part of our lives to the Lord speaking to us? That's the question that God wants to put before us. And just as simply as these things happen to us daily, almost, maybe not every day, maybe this morning you finally woke up and you're sitting here in church, we sang a song, and you go, wow, God, I didn't even invite you into my life all week long because I was just so busy doing things. Do you do that like I do? Don't you go days like that sometimes and go, wow, I'm yours. You bought me with a price. I'm not my own anymore. I'm a steward of your life. You want to commune with me? You want me to pray without ceasing? You want me to be in fellowship with you all the time? And I didn't even recognize you the last 3 days. Well, a lot can go on in those 3 days when we're not in contact with our Maker. But with that in mind, imagine a day coming where the delusion is so strong, the deception is so powerful, the deceitfulness to pull you away from truth and from the presence of God is so overbearing that these hearts will be hardened. And that even in spite of a world falling apart and you know, Wall Street tumbling, and it says all the merchants of the world, it says in Revelation 19, mourn for Babylon because all of the goods of the earth have no value anymore. And there's nothing that we've put our lives in that count for anything anymore. And they still say, curse God. You know, they still curse God. There is a strong, powerful force coming, much like the one we recognize now, because John said, and the Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist is in the world working already. He said that back, what, in the first century after Jesus' death. It's going to get worse and worse and worse until that day finally comes. This principle of a hardening of the heart I think about this. I can't imagine how anybody could not see the truth of Christ. To me, it's so clear and so obvious. And for those of us that are saved and have recognized the grace of God in His plan of salvation, how much sense it makes, how wise it is, how amazing it is, how anyone could not believe it. Didn't it just blow your mind why anybody wouldn't want to believe that? Strong delusion keeps those that do not want to believe from doing so against their will. How about that? I got that out of a commentary. I thought about that. God honors people's will, the people's choice. He is sovereign. He desires that all people be saved. But if somebody doesn't want to be saved, the only way to keep them from being saved is to put delusion and deception and blindness on them. Or they would get saved and believe against their will. You see what I'm saying? The truth is so obvious. The miracles of God. Jesus was seen by 500, many that were still living when Paul was writing. I mean, it's you can't crack it. It's so rock hard true that God's not going to force anybody to believe and get saved against their will. And so blindness has come. God allows that delusion of Satan. It says that we, as when we were unbelievers, that we were blinded by the God of this age. It says that in Ephesians, right? And so there's a strong God allows this blindness, the deception, to take hold of man. So we won't be forced to believe. Because you have to. It's so true. You just have to believe it. I want to turn over to Matthew 13 real quick. And Jesus used this principle. And I want to get into it deeply in Isaiah. But several times in the New Testament, Paul and Jesus refer to Isaiah 6, 9, and 10. And the idea is, we'll pick it up in verse 10.